Good morning and welcome to the Marine Resources Committee. We have two public hearings and a series of work sessions today. We'll begin with committee introductions, beginning with Representative Gifford on my left.
Representative Irene Gifford, have a hard time getting that out for some reason. And I'm District 28. I live in Lincoln and have eight surrounding towns. Thank you.
I'm Representative Morgan Riley. I represent House District 127, which is part of Westbrook.
Hello, I'm Representative Strout from District 11 in Harrington, and I have the towns of Millbridge, Harrington, Columbia, Columbia Falls, Centerville, Addison, Jonesport, Beals, Jonesboro, Roque Bluffs, Whitneyville, and Machias.
Good morning, Jim Thorne. I represent House District 35, which are the towns of Carmel and Herman up in beautiful Penobscot County.
Okay. We'll wait a second for you, or you can go out. Abden.
Good morning. I'm Representative Abden Simmons. I represent House District 45, which is Bremen, Waldoboro, Friendship, and Washington, and Louds Island.
Good morning, Representative Peter Wood, District 81 in Western Maine.
Good morning, Wayne Farron from Jefferson. Also represent Alner, Wiscasset, Whitefield, and Lincoln County.
And I'm Allison Hepler. I represent the towns of Arousic, Georgetown, Phippsburg, Woolwich, and West Bath, and I'm the House Chair of this committee.
And I'm Denise Tepler. I represent Senate District 24, which is all of Saginaw County, the town of Dresden in Lincoln County, and uninhabited Perkins Township. And first bill we're going to hear this morning is from Representative Billy Bob Falkingham, LD 1790, an act regarding lobster measurement. Please proceed, Representative Falkingham.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me this morning. I'll be as brief as possible. Good morning, Senator Tepler, Representative Hepler, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. I am Representative Billy Bob Falkingham. I represent House District 12 and serve as the House Republican leader. I'm here today to support my bill, LD 1790, an act regarding lobster measurement. The lobster fishery is an economic backbone of Maine's Downeast communities, and it has long stood as the national and international model of sustainable fisheries management. LD 1790 seeks to make a small but important change to how we handle one key regulatory aspect of this fishery, the setting of minimum and maximum size limits. Specifically, LD 1790 removes the authority of the Maine Commissioner of Marine Resources to unilaterally change lobster size limits through rulemaking. Instead, any proposed changes would need to come before the Maine legislature in the form of legislation. Should those changes be necessary to comply with the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission's plan? This bill is not about ignoring science or walking away from cooperative fisheries management. Quite the opposite. It ensures that when major regulatory changes are proposed, they undergo a full and open legislative process. That means greater transparency, increased stakeholder engagement, and ultimately stronger public trust in the decisions that affect thousands of hardworking fishermen. Let me highlight a few reasons why this change is both reasonable and necessary. Adjustments to the minimum or maximum size can have a direct or immediate impact on landings, income, and the livelihood of Maine's fishermen. These are not minor modifications. These are policy decisions that should be made by the full legislative oversight. For example, a small increase in the minimum size by even a fraction could make millions of lobsters uncatchable overnight, severely impacting the industry. As this joint committee has demonstrated in the past, Maine's legislature is fully capable of acting quickly when necessary. This bill does not stand in the way of Maine's compliance with ASMFC mandates. Rather, it simply requires the Department of Marine Resources to submit a bill, just like this one, when those mandates would require changes to the size limits. We trust this committee and the entire legislature to act in the best interest of both the state and its fishermen, as we have done in the past and will continue to do so in the future. Currently, too much decision-making power is concentrated in one government office. While I have the utmost respect for the Commissioner and the Department of Marine Resources, it is inappropriate for decisions of this magnitude to bypass the legislature. Our state constitution vests lawmaking power and with elected representatives for a reason, to ensure accountability, foster debate, and give voice to the concerns of our constituents. Let me close by emphasizing that this bill does not remove Maine from the cooperative fisheries management process. We remain committed partners to the ASMFC and in a sustainable fisheries management. However, those decisions must reflect Maine's values, the best interest of Maine's downeast economy, and the voices of Maine fishermen. I urge you to vote ought to pass on LD 1790 and ensure that our state maintains both regulatory compliance and accountability to our hardworking fishermen. Thank you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions from the committee for Representative Faulkingham. I have one for yes. you, Representative Faulkingham or Leader Faulkingham. Had you considered the possibility, one of my concerns about this bill is that something with the force of law is different than something that's in rule. And rules have less force, actually, than laws. And I'm wondering if you considered the possibility that this could be, instead of a process of creating a law about lobster size, whether it could be instead a, and I wish I could, I always get the name of this confused, the kind of rule that requires the department to come to the committee to approve the, major substantive rule, mm-hmm. as opposed to a routine technical rule.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. And I think that is definitely something that's worthy of consideration at the work session. But I do wholeheartedly believe that we need some sort of legislative approval. I will say that I was a member of this committee when the change was made. At that point in time, I feel, I'll be the first to admit, I think I made a mistake by supporting that. I wish that I hadn't done that and been part of that. At that point in time, I had a lot of faith in the commissioner, as I do the new commissioner. And this isn't about them. It's about the way we do our management. And even through more thinking on this, I just really don't think that we should. And, you know, if Commissioner Kelleher was around, and he, you know, I could imagine he might have not loved having the responsibility of that put solely on him after he had gone through that rule change, that measure change. So I think it's a lot to put on one person. I think it's doesn't give enough oversight. And it's a good question that I haven't really looked into that and know if that's really the way I think it should go. But I will say that we never had a problem with this. This isn't reinventing the wheel or anything like that. The commissioner has only had this authority for the last 2 or 3 years, I think. So really, this would just be more of a restoration of the way that we've done it for decades in lobster management.
And can I ask a follow-up question? Yes, I can.
Yes, you can. That's good. I like that.
I will often raise my hand even when I'm running a
to
meeting.
To yourself.
Yes. I'm sorry, I lost my train of thought there having this. Yeah, I know what it was. So do you think the industry is aware enough of this committee's responsibilities that if we, let's say we were to make it a major substantive rule or even this law, that they would be present for that discussion so they would feel they have more input than they do now?
Yeah, when it comes to, I've been in the the lobster industry, the fish in many fisheries. I've been in the fishing industry my whole life. And one thing I can say about us is that we are not a proactive industry. We're reactive. And so things happen and they're not keeping an eye on it. And all the usually complaining and grumbling happens a little bit after it's, you know, too late. But I think that that's why this bill is an improvement over what we have, because we live in a form of representative government, and it gives the people's representatives a chance to weigh in on this decision more than the process that we have currently, which is in the hands of the commissioner. And I just don't think that that decision should be solely put there without having representative government and being able to get that information.
Questions and comments? Yes, Rep. Thorne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Leader Fockingham, what would you say to those that say that the reason it lies in the hands of the commissioner is in case we as a legislature are adjourned and something has to be done, say over the summer or the fall, that is, you know, of an immediate nature? And does that happen where a call has to be made, and would we be able to do that as a legislative body if we were adjourned?
Mm-hmm. That's a good question, and it doesn't happen that quickly. And remember that in this particular situation, we're focused on a gauge change to the lobster industry. So maybe in some other fisheries, like a quota fishery or something like that, the commissioner needs to act quicker. But when it comes to a lobster management, these are months-long processes of public hearings, that years-long processes. And I think the best argument for this bill and why that doesn't apply is the example that just recently happened, where there was a lot of pressure to change. It was changing. It was happening. And then all of a sudden, it was actually the commissioner that said, I'm pulling it. So the commissioner himself, in defiance of the rule, said, I'm pulling it. And what happened? Because we've heard these, nightmare situations. We've heard, you know, how it's going to happen. It's, you know, we can't let it happen. We'll lose this. We can't ship out of the state of Maine, all these bad results will happen. But then the commissioner, you know, pulled it and nothing happened. They deal with it. They go back down to ASMFC and they adjust. So they know in ASMFC that all these states have their own regulatory processes that take time and have to go through the process. They know that, and they've dealt with it for years. And we've been a part of ASMFC for many, many, decades, and this has been the process that we've had for most of that. It's only been over the last 2 or 3 years, and honestly, I think it was a burden that shouldn't have fallen onto one person, and to have to deal with the blowback of that change that was made down there, I think that it should be the responsibility of the legislature to have to tackle that issue, not have the burden put onto one person.
I'm yes, sorry, you Morgan. May follow up, and I'm just looking around to see if anybody else has any questions. Okay.
And that leads me to the question for my mind of clearing up that was put in place to expedite the process between the state of Maine regulations and ASMFC's rulemaking or guidance or authority, if you will,
mm-hmm.
and for Maine to be in compliance with that. Is there anything that you can tell us as a committee that would make us feel comfortable that we are not straining that relationship between the Maine rulemaking authority and ASMFC?
Mm-hmm. Look to what just happened and imagine if the commissioner hadn't at the very last minute made the correct decision and pulled that back. The market implications, the economic implications that would have happened if that had moved forward. So I think that would be honestly that situation right there is probably one of the best arguments for returning it to the legislature so that it can be vetted through the legislative process.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Farron and then Representative Simmons.
Thank you for coming in. Wouldn't the lobster measurement be looked at, you know, more unilaterally with other states and also Canada altogether? Wouldn't it be hard to do that with the legislature working with, if you had to do a measure change, wouldn't it be good if it all happened at once?
Right, it would. So this doesn't change our cooperation with ASMFC. It was always existed before we made this rule change legislative change to give the commissioner that authority. I don't remember the exact year, but it must have been three or four years ago. And so it would just fall onto the legislature to have to do that. But as you know, you could see from the last example, there are also other options, and that's what we're in the current process of exploring right now. And also, I would add to that, that when ASMFC does make a rule or an addendum, it doesn't just immediately apply to us. There's still somebody out there that has to make that change to fall in line with that at the state level. And all I'm saying is rather than have it fall on the commissioner, have it fall on the legislature where it always has.
Representative Simmons.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Mm-hmm. If that measure had changed, would it have been detrimental to the gray zone down in your area of down east?
Yeah.
Is it true that the Canadians could have kept those lobsters and we would have had to have been throwing them back?
Yeah, that's correct. That would have been one of the worst parts because we actually had waters that are co-fished and co-managed, and every lobster in that area would have been caught by, thrown back by our fishermen, would have been caught by Canadians because there was no international deal. And to your question, ASMFC has no effect on Canada, and there was no cooperation there, no agreement made there. So that was another reason, one of the big arguments as to why that rule change shouldn't go through.
So let's try to focus on the process issue here, because what you've brought us, Leader Falkingham, is a question about how the decision is made, not about which decision should be made. So yes, Rep. Hepler.
Thank you. I just got back in this morning from ASMFC, as a matter of fact. So I have two questions. One is, do you remember, and maybe this is a question for Anne, the last time the gauge was increased? I think it was quite a while.
Yeah, I think it was around 93.
Okay. 92, 93. Okay. But yeah, maybe we can find that out.
Maybe even earlier than that, actually.
The other question, I guess it kind of builds on what Rep. Thorne was talking about. Like, so what if the legislature makes a decision that puts us out of compliance with ASMFC? Then what happens?
What happens if the commissioner makes a decision that puts us out of compliance with ASMFC?
Well, so what happened?
Just to answer your question, someone is the rulemaking authority and making that decision.
Okay. All right.
So, the hypotheticals can apply both ways.
Okay. So, but if we want to avoid being, ruled out of compliance by the Commerce Sec, I mean, we'd have to somehow, either way, make some kind of a
decision.
Adjustment. Yeah.
A decision needs to be made.
I think there's a better work session question, but thanks.
Mm-hmm. Any other comments or not comments, just questions from the committee? It's public hearing. I've been doing too many work sessions lately. Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Leader Falkingham. And now we'll turn to the department.
Good morning, Senator Tepler, Representative Hepler, and members of the Joint Standing Committee on Marine Resources. My name is Deirdre Gilbert. I'm the Director of State Marine Policy for DMR, and I am testifying on behalf of the department, neither for nor against LD 1790. You've covered a lot of this ground already this morning, but fundamentally, as you have identified, LD 1790 addresses the question of which is the most appropriate body, and to my thinking, your choices are the DMR Advisory Council or the legislature to provide the final approval for a change to the minimum or maximum size for lobster. That decision impacts how quickly Maine can act to protect this resource and the fishery when action is needed. Historically, Maine's minimum and maximum lobster gauge sizes have been in statute. In 2022, the law was amended to allow the gauge to be changed by the department through rulemaking when necessary to comply with changes to the Atlantic States Marine Fisheries Commission Interstate Fisheries Management Plan for American Lobster. That change was proposed shortly after draft addendum 27 to amendment 3 was approved for public comment. Addendum 27 was ultimately approved by the Lobster Management Board and was the first lobster plan to include what was called a trigger, such that once a particular change in the biological indices of the lobster resource occurred, an increase in the minimum lobster gauge, amongst other changes, was initiated. With the development of the addendum, the department became concerned that depending on the point in time when the trigger was reached and action taken by the Lobster Management Board, it might not be possible to make the change to the gauge in statute in a timely way and maintain compliance with the FMP. More specifically, if action was taken to initiate a gauge change at a time of year when the legislature is not in session, we would need to wait for the legislature to reconvene before initiating the process, wait for the passage of the bill, and if not done in an emergency measure, wait for it to take effect 90 days after the legislature had adjourned. This could lead Maine to miss the implementation date and potentially result in a non-compliance finding at ASMFC. If a state fails to comply with the management plan, the Secretary of Commerce may impose a moratorium for fishing in the state waters. Conversely, the department can generally complete the rulemaking process within approximately 90 days. Like other agencies, DMR must follow the Maine Administrative Procedures Act, which includes notice to impacted individuals, the opportunity for a hearing, and the opportunity to submit written comments. The department must compile and respond to any comments received and may amend the rule based on those comments. The department develops a proposed adoption package, which is provided to the DMR Advisory Council for their consideration and vote. And the department cannot adopt a rule that does not receive approval from a majority of the members of the DMR AC. DMR sought the 2022 change in law regarding the process by which a gauge change is implemented largely in response to Addendum 27 and a desire to be able to implement a timely regulatory change to avoid noncompliance. The recent experience with the proposed rulemaking for the gauge has been instructive with regard to the challenges that are likely to occur whenever a gauge change is pending. If the process to advance a change advances through rulemaking, the DMR Advisory Council will need to be willing to approve the rule in order for it to go into effect. That advisory council is a 17-member council made up of mainly industry members, including harvesters and dealers. Conversely, if the change is advanced legislatively, this committee will need to approve the change in order for it to be considered by the full legislature. These will never be easy decisions to make, regardless of which body is providing the final approval. The nature of fisheries management is to try to avoid a resource problem that will negatively impact future sustainability. However, those actions have impacts on the income of the current participants, and there is never perfect scientific proof of what the outcome will be. As noted at the beginning of my testimony, this bill comes down to who is the most appropriate to provide that final approval for such a change and how quickly Maine will be able to act to protect the resource and the fishery when action is needed. Thank you for your consideration. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Director Gilbert. Can you tell us, for the work session, the list of folks who are on the advisory council and their spot in the industry.
Yep.
Thanks. Any other guests? Rep Thorne.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Director Gilbert, for being here and providing your testimony. For a point of clarity, essentially what this is doing is just adding another layer. It doesn't take away the fact that those advisory boards and councils will still come to the department, still meet with the department, just that this committee would be involved to make the final process of decision versus the commissioner, correct?
No, and I just want to clarify, it is really two separate streams. So we do a lot of rulemaking that just goes to the DMR Advisory Council, right? And they're the only body that reviews the comments that were received, what the department decided to do in response to that. If the gauge goes to this body, we're not going to go through the rulemaking process. We're not going to engage with that entity. It's just going to come in as a bill like other department bills come to you, and all of the public input will occur here instead of through the rulemaking process.
Further clarity? But those advisory councils will still come to DMR to give their opinion to the department. And then when we hold a session here, the department will share both their biology perspective and their advisory board interactions with us?
So when it comes to the changes that are made through the ASMFC management plans, there is a public process that ASMFC runs to, you know, when they have the addendum ready, they have a public comment period on that. There are hearings in Maine. So all through the gauge conversation, the department was working with the lobster zone councils and the lobster advisory council to advise them of, like, here's where we are in this process, here, you know, why this is happening, here are the opportunities for public input. But it that input really needs to flow through ASMFC with regard to the development of that measure. The DMR advisory council, and I do want to be really clear about this, because I feel like there is a misperception that the commissioner has unilateral authority over rulemaking, right? Like, the department just decides we need a rule and we can just push it through the process. We have this body, the DMR Advisory Council, that their main function is to approve department rulemaking. They don't engage, they're not engaged in the development of the rule or giving us input on the rule as a body. They're taking everything that we receive, our responses, and what we propose to do, and voting it up or down. So their involvement comes at the very end and is unique in that regard. And this particular rule, the gauge, never got to them because it was pulled by the department before it got to that point. But they would have had to approve it in order for it to actually get adopted as a rule. But I don't know how to explain it other than they're all kind of disparate. You know, there are members of the lobster industry, members of the scallop industry, members of the shellfish industry. So yeah. they don't work with the department on each rule. They just review where we got to at the end and decide whether it's defensible or not.
And I'll ask further questions as we get to the work session, but I'm more interested in that input of information through the department and to the Marine Resources Committee to ultimately make that decision, and whether or not that process stops if rulemaking authority returns to this committee on that one particular item, for example.
And I know Rep. Simmons has a question, but I would like to ask a quick clarifying question. So as I understand it, then, the commissioner does not actually have sole power to make a change to the rules. The commissioner has the authority to pull back a suggested change in a rule, but not the authority to actually make the change in a rule. So those are two different things.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Thank you. And Rep. Simmons, go ahead.
Yeah, I think this is where, being in town government, I've kind of, the process of how we get to making those rules is the advisory council should be the one looking at these. And I think this change could potentially give a buffer zone for the department, wouldn't you say? Is the legislature makes that decision. You guys talk with the advisory council. This is what we're thinking. And if that's the case, then maybe the legislature should be making that decision, which gives you a buffer just passing the word along, just like with town committees. They make recommendations to the select boards. The select boards actually make the decision, not the committees. And I think that's what should be happening in this instance. And you're just relaying the conveyance of that advisory council. And they're not hearing it. So do you think it's a good process to have them, you present something to them, they give you advice, then you as the department comes here with that advice?
So I think what you're suggesting, Representative Simmons, is kind of what the major substantive rulemaking process is that we've touched on a little bit earlier. So that's kind of like a unique combination of both rulemaking and law, in that the department would go through a rulemaking process, we would collect input, take it through the DMR Advisory Council, and then before it could actually get adopted, it would also have to come to this body for approval. My concern about that is, if an issue is the timeliness, now we have to go through that entire process and hit the legislative session right in order to have it get adopted, in a timely manner, and that I think would be difficult to do. I also think that we have to bear in mind that this is not like the development of like a big body of complex regulation that we need to really work out with the industry and then come to you and also work out. It's literally changing a number, right? Like it's deciding whether or not Maine is willing to change that number or not change that number. So I really don't think you need two separate public processes in order to make that determination. I think we're a little bit agnostic on which one it is. I think reasonable people could make arguments for both outcomes. And as we've been saying, it was in statute for a long time. So,
and I'd like to clarify one thing, not so much with you, but for the committee. So if we make the change suggested in this bill, gauge changes will be made in law, not in rule. So that would come solely to us. It wouldn't flow through the process at the department. It would come as a department bill, and then we would have to make a decision. It would not go through a rulemaking process, which involves the council. If we choose to not do this, it will stay completely with the council, or if the committee so chooses, we could change it to a major substantive rule process where they would have to come to us after rulemaking to approve the rule. However, as Director Gilbert has suggested, that has a timeliness concern. So I think that's where we are. Those are the three kinds of choices we have. Other questions? Yes, Rep. Strout.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Deidre. So for me, it really comes down to compliance and able to process and move the seafood. So whoever has the say on that, that's going to make sure that industry isn't shut down with people process versus regulations that are enough on and mandates and changes in size. I just want to make sure whatever is decided that it doesn't impact the industry in a negative way because of timing. And that's really my concern. If the ASMFC puts something into place, irregardless if we approve it or not, it's about the compliance. So that's really what I want to know is what's the most efficient way to work towards the compliance. I think we have it worked out where we have the meetings. We're going back to the zone councils to do more of that up front. They're looking at different research. So I just want to make sure whatever way doesn't reverse some of the stuff or postpone future discussions. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, Representative Thorne.
Hopefully it's a yes or no question. Whether it's the commissioner or this committee, if we're out of compliance with ASMFC, we're out of compliance with Right?
That's correct.
It doesn't matter
correct.
Who makes the decision.
Right. And just to be clear, it's the DMR
Advisory Council. We're either in compliance or out of compliance.
Right. Not the commissioner, but the DMR Advisory Council or this body, one of them has to agree to implement it to stay in compliance. If
or
either,
not.
Or if they do not, then we are out of compliance either way.
And if that one, they come to the commissioner and have that discussion, ASMFC, or they would come here to discuss it with this committee?
ASMFC to discuss the finding of noncompliance, is it?
Yes.
So the finding of noncompliance is made through the ASMFC process. There's a series of steps they go to make their determination if a state is not in compliance. ASMFC as a body makes that determination. They send a notice to the Secretary of Commerce. So they wouldn't come, they wouldn't really kind of come to Maine to find out anything. They would just go through their process to determine if Maine is compliance or not.
Okay. Thank you.
And what is the penalty if we're out of compliance?
Secretary of Commerce can prohibit that fishery from occurring in the state.
Thank you, Director Gilbert. I think we've exhausted our questions here. Is there anyone else in the room who would like to testify in favor of this bill? Is there anyone in the room who would like to testify in opposition to this bill? Okay. Is there anyone online? No, no one online. Okay. That means we close the public hearing on LD 1790.